Warning, this show is not for sensitive snowflakes. We enjoy the right to offend each other. It's part of this free speech thing that we fought so hard to get. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
You believe that the Constitution's the best document in political history?
Greatest political document ever.
There you go.
Thank you.
I want to know, how is it possible to believe that when it's based on racist principles? They describe indigenous peoples as merciless Indian savages. They don't describe African Americans as full people, and they don't even recognize other people of color and other minorities that we see today. So I just want to know how you think it's possible to believe that's such a great document.
Thank you for the question. Where does it say that in the document? No, keep her. Where does it say that in the document?
I'm sorry, what?
Where does it say what you said in the actual document?
I'm not entirely sure.
It doesn't.
No.
Well, what can you say about that? Love Charlie Kirk. It isn't in the document. That was a college student talking like this and wanting to know some questions. Doesn't it say it has racism in it? No, actually. And these college students, which I know that our guest that we have on right now is fully aware of some of the comments that come on that come out of colleges. Welcome to the show, Uncle Milty. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. And welcome to Dr. Duke Pesta, whose radio show, Dr. Duke, has taken everybody by storm. It's a fantastic show. Check it out. He's one of the few conservative professors. And when you heard that clip, what did you hear in that student's voice, Dr. Duke Pesta?
Well, you know, quite a bit of what's the word I'm looking for? Quite a bit
idiocy?
Of
no,
what I have to deal with on every day on campus.
That's amazing. When I heard her speak, and I thought, when she said savages, I mean, I just sat there and cringed for all of mankind that these people think, that these kids think these things. We're going to be talking about a slew of things in the show. This is probably graduation week for a lot of people out there, and colleges included. But I do find it kind of interesting what you were mentioning before we went on the air about colleges walking and having, because I asked you when your graduation was coming up, and you said they already had it the previous weekend, but you weren't even done with grades.
Yeah, you know, this is true for many colleges. I've taught at seven, and I think it's been true for almost all of them, that by the time the final grades are reported and sent to the kids, it's usually a good week, maybe 10 days after even after the graduation ceremony in some instances. And so a lot of kids at the universities I've taught at have actually walked without completely knowing whether they've passed or not. Now, again, most kids have a general sense of how they're doing at the end of the semester.
Right.
But we let these kids walk regardless if they've officially graduated or not. And there have been cases across the country where parents have sued to allow kids to walk with their classmates, even if they haven't passed. And in some cases, they've actually won injunctions from the court to do that. So we're actually, this is part of the social justice reimagining of our universities, that even kids who haven't officially graduated get to walk with their class, because it would be too traumatic for them if they weren't allowed to do so.
I'm horrified, hence the liner about snowflakes. So do they offer him a small trophy for doing this, for walking too? I mean,
the diploma these days is their trophy. I mean, it really is a sense on college campuses now that these kids are entitled to diplomas, that they showed up, they paid their exorbitant money to us to get them. It really doesn't matter all that much in the final analysis if they know anything or not. I mean, if you think social promotion is bad at the middle and high school levels, well, think about what ends up happening at universities. At universities, we start taking these kids, and we're taking kids now in the university on the basis of inclusion, right? I mean, that's the new word. Inclusivity is the big new word. And so that means that it's really socially unjust to discriminate against kids who are stupid, kids who are lazy, kids who didn't try very hard. They have every right to get a college degree, as anybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've mentioned this on your show many times. I think about 40%, 4 out of 10 kids that I teach at the university, and this has been true whether I've taught at Oklahoma State University or at the University of Wisconsin or Purdue University when I was a grad student, about 40% of the kids, 4 out of 10, really shouldn't be here. They're either intellectually incapable of doing the work. That's about half of that 4 out of 10. So about 20% of my kids just can't do the work. They can't read at the right level. They can't think at the right level. They're completely out of their depth. The other 20%, to make up 40%, are kids who potentially could eke by with C's, but their just attitudes are so bad they don't come to class. And this is true at about 40% of my kids, but we take them. And then we give them federal loan money, and then we take them for a year or two or three before they fail out. But the thing is, and I'll tell you this bluntly, there's not a professor in the country who can get away with failing 40% of his kids. You fail 40% of your students every semester, the university will find a way to get rid of you. That's 40% of kids in your class who aren't sleeping in dorms, 40% who aren't paying the meal fees, 40% who are no longer buying overpriced student books at the campus bookstore. The reality is that we have already changed how we do college. College now is a receiving ground, not just for kids who can do, but for kids who can't or won't. In fact, the kids who can't or won't do are prioritized in the name of social justice, especially if those kids happen to be inner city kids or minority kids or kids who identify as trans or homosexual. We're bringing disproportionately large numbers of those kids to campus on the basis of their identities, not on the basis of their preparedness. So by definition, we have already lowering entrance requirements, and once these kids get here, we cannot in good conscience just not give them degrees. And so already, and I've said this before many times, pretty much what we're doing in college is giving the average kid the kind of high school education he would have had 30, 40 years ago. So what a kid would have learned in high school in 1970, we're now giving them that same education, but it takes them all the way through college to do it. And they're getting way in debt for that piece of paper that says they have a college degree when all they're really learning is what they would have learned in high school 40 years ago.
Well, that explains to me then why if you're a parent with a lot of money and you bribe your kid into a university, it's a criminal offense.
Well, you know, I've said this too before, guys. Wow. I'm not the least bit bothered by that. I mean, is it privileged white liberals doing privileged white liberal things? Of course it is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing
it. No, I know exactly what you're saying. It was blown out of proportion to the 10th degree.
Rich families for the last 200 years have been buying their kids. I'm almost kind of impressed. If you're going to spend $6 million or even $500,000 to get your kid into a good college. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose I'd rather the money come from there than my taxes.
Exactly.
Well, we care so much so that this is front news headline. You know, the arrests have happened and they might be going to prison, it looks like, because they bribed their way in, yet we don't care what the college teaches.
No. And you know what?
Okay,
if
just
it
making
weren't
sure.
Felicity Huffman and... Lori Loughlin, if they were utterly unknowns who did this, I don't think we'd even be talking about it anymore.
You're right.
That's right.
You're absolutely right.
And you make a great point, Kate, that all of this is for show. I mean, the thing that was so damning about Lori Loughlin's kids is that she's online live streaming herself about how stupid she thinks college is. She's going for the party, not for the education, as if this is some kind of outrage against our high academic standards. You know how many of my kids come to school to party and to hang out and to live in the dorms away from their parents? Do you know how many of my kids rate their academic experience as eighth or ninth important aspect of their college education? It's about half of them. So I'm sort of surprised by the outrage over all of it. And quite frankly, these are two radically liberal groups, right? Mm-hmm. Hollywood actors and actresses and universities. They both suffer from the same kind of out of control entitlement and privilege. I don't know why we want to blame the mom so much when we don't give any blame to the universities.
This and the Me Too Harvey Weinstein, these were the left's way of saying, see, we do stuff to our own. It's limited and it's weirdly, it stands out weirdly in the whole scope of what's actually wrong in the country. But see, we're punishing our own. That's exactly what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, obviously this is a crime and obviously the media could not ignore it. I mean, it was such a big deal.
Sure.
And the actor-actress connection made it seem really, really, really more alluring to the media. But, you know, I don't know the first thing about Felicity Huffman or Lori Loughlin's politics. I mean, it's conceivable that they tend to be more right of center. And maybe that's why it's being advertised the way it is. But we make a big deal about this when, you know, I mean, just because look at George W. Bush. I mean, his dad went to Yale, so he went. I mean, this whole idea of legacies. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that your parents went means that you get to go over other kids who might have better grades. That should outrage us. The fact that Harvard University and many universities are discriminating against smart Asian kids simply because they have too many smart Asian kids, right? Mm-hmm. So all those Asian kids who come, and these kids grow up in neighborhoods that are in some cases as bad as African-American and Latino kids do, but those kids succeed. And so they're being punished now because there's too many of them who have taken advantage of the opportunities of America, and they've become great students, and they've gotten into first-tier universities. But the same universities who scream in our ear again and again and again how we must make safe places for minority kids to succeed are now discriminating in the name of social justice against one very successful group of immigrants. Now, they're not white people. These are Asian kids. Mm-hmm. And we're discriminating against them while pretending to care about the non-performance of other kids. It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. Tim Cook, Apple, gave a very interesting speech that I hope all people are paying attention to as he spoke to the youth. And he said this. He said, "In some important ways, my generation has failed you. We spent too much time debating, too much focused on the fight, and not enough progress." So in other words, what he's basically saying to the students, because if you read his speech, and we'll go into it a little bit more after the break too, but here's the deal. We gave you some lies. You're debating them. You're spending too much time debating them and not enough time on enacting them. And so basically he went into a whole diatribe on climate change and also on the rich and how the rich get really, we have to look at what somebody's afforded and as well. So when he gets into this, what I find kind of interesting is I'm looking back at the founders and I'm looking about how much time they spent debating in the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers and how much time debating went into the principles that are found in the Constitution. There can never be too much debate because that means everybody's being at least represented. When somebody tells me to ignore the debate and just focus on what we're telling you, then they're basically, we're supposed to what? Just fall in line with the lie? Never question?
Yeah, and it's worse than that, because what he's basically saying is in line with what you and I have been talking about, Milty, too.
Yeah.
Universities have been transformed into places of social justice activism. They are not about learning skills or mastering content. That's what they are. And what the president of Apple is basically saying, stop debating these things. Stop pretending, he says. There's two ways to look at climate change, or there's two ways to look at race in this country, and just do what your progressives tell you, professors tell you. Just do it and don't ask questions.
How lovely. How lovely of him. He actually goes on, and you're right, he actually goes on to talk about, look at my generations as failed you. And he also said, he went on about climate change. And what he had to say about climate change was kind of interesting. And in light of Biden coming out and saying that he invented, he better tell 1974 media that he invented it in 1987. But anywho, we'll be right back with Dr. Duke Pesta, Dr. Duke Show. Be right back with Uncle Milty and myself on the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Love it. Wow. Lunatic Fringe. We're seeing it displayed on every corner. It's insane. Here we go. I have Dr. Duke Pesta with me. I also have Uncle Milty. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. You can go to katedalyradio.com. You can get the podcast. We hit over 500,000 podcast listens. So 500,000 just recently. And so I'm excited about that. And I have Dr. Duke. You can check out the Dr. Duke Show. He does amazing things, talks about things that aren't being talked about in mainstream and really goes for the jugular in the debate, in what the principle is and what the problem is and what we're up against. And nobody does it as plainly and truthfully as Dr. Duke. He is one of the only conservative professors right now in our colleges. And I'm telling you, I love that he speaks out. And so welcome back, Dr. Duke.
Thank you guys very much. It's good to be with you as always on a Monday.
Yes, absolutely. There was I was mentioning a clip just as we left. Tim Cook from Apple gave his speech, and I'm going to play this clip for the audience. This is basically Biden being asked on the campaign trail if he's going to support and continue to support climate change, and he says, "Well, he invented it in 1987," and so. So let me play a clip from you. Let me play this clip. This is Biden saying he invented it in 1987. Here we go.
By the way, I was, just so you know, I'm the guy that did all this stuff. Read Real Clear Politics. I'll tell you about how I started this whole thing back in 87 with climate change.
Okay. And it's reminiscent of Al Gore saying that he invented the Internet. Here we go.
The last 6 years during my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative and creating the Internet.
He took the initiative and created the Internet. You know, this is news to me because I have a clip from 1974, Dr. Pesta. And here's the clip. It's 1974 media saying that we had a huge, that we were going to turn into popsicles by 1979. And here is that clip.
Climate experts believe the next ice age is on its way. According to recent
the
evidence,
next ice age is on its way
sooner than anyone had expected.
Yeah, and so we have a problem here because 1987 doesn't know what 1974 was saying, according to Biden. So lots of problems with climate change anyway. But Tim Cook's speech was very, very interesting to the students that he was giving the graduation speech to for college.
So many things to talk about. Let's start with Tim Cook. You know, the fact is that he should have been honest. He's basically telling these kids, you know what? There are no debates. We are post-discussion when it comes to progressive activism. Mm-hmm. We no longer debate our enemies. We no longer pretend that anybody has a valid view but us woke social justice warriors. We are the only ones. But he should have finished his thought. And therefore, you aren't just wasting time. My generation didn't just waste time. The 4 years you spent in universities is wasted time. That $150,000 you got for that waste of time degree could better have been spent out fighting activism. In other words, let your woke Common Core teachers now tell you what the cause is. Skip college altogether, save that money, and go fight climate change. Go fight all the global issues that we progressives want you to. It's amazing to me that a college invited him to give that speech, and that speech basically nullifies what they've been doing for the last 4 years at universities. That's mm-hmm. remarkable, number one. Number two, the Joe Biden thing. Given how much greenhouse gases emit from his mouth, I can understand his claim, but notice what he said. He called it climate change. In 1987, no one was talking about climate change. Yeah, they were talking about global warming. Mm-hmm. And the fact that since 1987 to 2019, the entire narrative has changed from global warming to climate change shows you just how odd this is. And a quick little anecdote. I remember 1976, I was in second grade, and I remember my second grade teacher in third grade, it's the only thing I remember from second grade, is she talked to us for about 3 weeks about global freezing. Mm-hmm. I remember being 6 years old, mm-hmm. 7 years old, 6 years old, being scared to death as a little boy that this huge glacier, this 6 mile high glacier, was going to push me and my family into the ocean sometime in the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. That's how terrified they had my little 6, 7 year old brain. Mm-hmm. They did not contextualize it. They did not make arguments back and forth. I was a little prisoner at age 6 or 7 being warned that you're all going to die because of man-made global cooling. And I had actual night sweat nightmares about it for 6 months because they so scared me. But now they're doing it with little kids, even younger mm-hmm. than me, 4 and 5 years mm-hmm. old. And they're doing it about climate change, and they're scaring them to death about the death of polar bears and about everybody else melting to death. It shows you how bizarrely wrong they've been if you just go back a few years.
Yeah, I had a kid ask me over the weekend, actually, you know, what about the pollution? The pollution is causing climate change, and so we have to stop polluting. And I started laughing because I said, you know, as Dan Pena would say, it's not a fart in the wind compared to what is actually happening and why. That's what they're telling the kids, though, that it's all of us. We're the enemy. It's all of our pollution, and we're ruining the earth. And they've been telling us this for 50 years. Go ahead, Uncle Mitzi.
Just trying to figure out who had it worse, the little kids who were scared with climate problems are those of us that went through the we're going to get nuked days.
Yeah, the under the desk nuking. Yes, this is so true.
Well, that was a real crisis, at least. I mean, there were actually atomic bombs pointed at us. I mean, that made a lot more sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I go back to the Apple president's speech. Well, okay, go after the rich people are the problem, he says, and you should be out there fighting climate change. Well, okay, the big tech footprint is huge. Mm-hmm. You look at the resources that big tech uses. You look at the expenditures. You look at the all of the maintenance that goes into keeping that up. This is a huge blight on the environment. But he's obviously not talking about himself.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And going after rich people, I mean, he means right-wing rich people who own corporations on Wall Street, I guess. Because if we went after rich people, at the very top of the food chain are people like Bezos and the president of Apple, right? Mm-hmm. These are the people we'd be coming after first.
Yeah. And listen to how he contradicts himself. He said, it's not about who wins the election. It's about who has won life's lottery and the luxury of ignoring this issue and who stands to lose everything. Now, you tell me. I know Alexandria says she was kidding, but she said that we had about 12 years and it was this generation, this young generation, the millennials, World War II, because we were all going to be wiped off the face of the earth. So how are the rich ignoring this? And I'm just contradicting his own statement. How are the rich getting away with it because they won life's lottery, but those that stand to lose everything are going to be affected by it? Because then he goes on to say, after this weird contradiction, because they say everyone's at stake with climate change, we're all the enemy, we're all the ones that are going to lose the earth, and it's going to be non-existent in 12 years. But then he goes on to say this: when we talk about climate change, he's speaking to the graduates, I challenge you to look for those that have the most to lose and find the real true empathy that comes from something shared. And then and all I want to say about that is, do you notice how he had to go right to empathy instead of facts? Because empathy is the only thing that sells this.
Yeah, it's even worse than that, guys. I mean, he just got through telling you that a college education isn't worth what it's worth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you should be out there fighting.
Right.
That's one thing he's told you. The other thing he's told you is, like you said, empathy, right? That we know by every metric that we're giving kids a much less rigorous education at the universities. They're getting a much less rigorous education. We know that eighth graders can't do math at an eighth grade level. We've seen the numbers now. So exactly who's going to fix this? How is empathy, caring, going to fix it? I mean, we're not giving kids a world-class education. Our kids can't do calculus. They can't do math at the highest levels.
Yeah.
Who's going to fix the problem?
But look,
so everybody's empathizing, but who's fixing?
Exactly. So look at his next sentence. When you do that, the political noise dies down and you can feel your feet planted on solid ground. I guess solid ground that's going to last more than 12 years is what he's trying to put out there. And here's the interesting part of that sentence. When you do that, then political noise dies down. When you dial in on empathy only, the political noise, you know, all that debating about facts, that goes away, and then you're cleared from everything and you can just work on the problem based on empathy. So get going, people. It's all you have to worry
about. Yeah, I mean, it's utter brainwashing, right?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yep.
Stop thinking critically. Stop debating. Stop thinking critically. Stop analyzing multiple perspectives. Let your mind go blank, right? Forget all the money and time you wasted in college. And just let us tell you. We'll tell you on Twitter. We'll tell you on Facebook. We'll tell you on Google. We'll tell you who you should feel bad for. And empathize. Empathize, 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 empathize
away.
That's
all you got. That's all you have, because the facts aren't there to back it up. Here's a caller for you. You're on the line with Dr. Duke Pest. To Uncle Milty and myself. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. You know, this is a very parallel to the early 70s when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. The same type of talk was all going on, and we had the election between McGovern and Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly the parallels. McGovern was all about we were going to allow amnesty to all the people in the draft dodgers, and we were going to have universal basic income. So otherwise the amnesty being for the illegal aliens, it's the same mantra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you had Nixon, who was all about middle America, peace and freedom, and strength through detente and everything else. And who ended up winning by a landslide when we came to the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So I'm not worried in a lot of ways.
Thank you for that. Really appreciate that, Dr. Duke.
That's a nice parallel. I think what McGovern losing and Hillary getting upset, I think there are parallels. But we got to look at the other side of the coin, too. The entire Obama program, right? I'll tell you what. I would give back the last 3 years of Trump if we never had the last 8 years of Obama. I think that would be, I'm not sure even the most well-intentioned Republican is capable of undoing in 7 or 8 years what Obama managed to do in 8 years. And Obama was clearly a case of empathy and hope, right? Mm-hmm. The entire appeal of Obama was never about facts or ideas. It was never about how we're going to concretely fix things. He basically said the same thing the president of Apple said. Elect me, and by electing me, you have voted for empathy and tolerance and inclusion, and look what we got, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, while on the one hand, Trump gives us a hope, somebody that's from the outside could win an election. But after the first 3 years of Donald Trump, 2.5 years of Donald Trump, have we seen him undo at the pace with which Barack Obama did do devastatingly regulatory things? And so I'm not sure, you know, even if we give Donald Trump 4 years, he could get, because you have a Republican Congress that won't go along with him. Mm-hmm. See, Obama had Democrats and squishy Republicans, and they got everything through.
Yeah,
we don't have that. We can't even depend on the Republican Congress to support it.
Right, right. And then not to mention all the liberties lost in the 4 years prior to even Obama. So we have major liberties at stake, and absorbing. They take away liberties and they tax us to death on climate change. And then there are just liberties taken with the Patriot Act in general. So we've had a long slew of this going on. And you're exactly right. I mean, when I looked at actually what Donald Trump has done to fight the regulation, he's done quite a bit. People don't give him the credit for not.
No,
for,
they don't.
Yeah, they really don't. Go ahead, Uncle Milty.
No, but the point is, and it's just you prove it with all these statements, is that it doesn't matter who we elect as president unless we do something about Congress.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
One more example. Mm-hmm. In the news today, Gorsuch voted with the liberals on another issue, right? So the last 2 weeks it was Kavanaugh voting with the liberals, and then it was John Roberts. We do not have a conservative court, guys. We don't. We have 3 conservatives, 4 liberals. Do you notice how one of the 4 liberals never, ever votes with the Republicans, ever? But it's either Gorsuch now or Roberts, mm-hmm, or it's Kavanaugh. Always switch. In fact, this entire legislative session, it's as if every single major issue the Supreme Court has come down on has fallen on the liberal docket because all 4 liberals vote in lockstep, mm-hmm, and one, either Gorsuch, right, for the first time Gorsuch, but now Kavanaugh two or three times, John Roberts is a reliable vote for the left. We do not have a conservative court. We have 4 liberals, we have 3 conservatives, and we have 2 guys who are primarily voting with the liberals.
Yeah, swings. In fact, I want to challenge you to do a podcast, Dr. Duke, on what your graduation speech to all these graduates would be, by the way, because I
love
think every kid should hear a very good graduation speech from somebody with some common sense that isn't lying to them. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love
All right, Sam Cooke. Don't know much about history. Don't know much about biology. Don't know much about a history book. What do they know about? Empathetic climate change without facts. And they also know a whole slew of things in regards to anything liberal progressive. I want to make this note, too, before we move on, Dr. Pesta, is that I think a lot of parents and grandparents will go see a little recital or end of the year program in school. And what they're going to notice is a lot of people in a lot of communities, especially more red states, you're going to see a lot of patriotism. You're going to see a lot about this country. And you're going to walk away going, wow, that's really great. See, they're not doing that horrible of a job. The problem is what you're not getting told. When you walk down the halls and see all the pictures of the mosques, instead of talking about Christianity, they have whole workbooks in the Common Core curriculum about Islam that you're not told about. We have a lot of curriculum on Earth Day, Earth Week. We don't have Founding Fathers Week or Constitution Week. We have Earth Week. We have a lot of indoctrination at the school that you're not going to pick up on in a recital or a little end of the year program. And I really want people to keep that in mind, because I do think they walk out going, well, I think we're doing okay, when they see that little snippet. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. We have 2 North Carolina teachers last week who, on their own initiative, brought drag queens in to talk to middle schoolers. They canceled classes. They organized this. Mm-hmm. They brought these drag queens in and let these drag queens talk to them for hours about inclusion and tolerance. And when the one of the teachers was asked about this, did you think this is a good idea? Why did you cancel classes? Why did you expose kids to this particular kind of activism? She said, the one thing we know is true about education is it's all about liberation. That the purpose of educating your kids is liberation, in her terms. She was trained as a teacher to believe that the classroom is a place of social justice experimentation. It's not a place where your kids learn ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. And I think one of the biggest problems I have, how many moms and dads out there think that because their kids graduate, every year they get a report card that has B's on it, and mm-hmm. at the end of high school they get a diploma, right? How many moms and dads think, hey, my kid's a graduate of high school without the vaguest idea what their kids do or don't know. And the same thing happens at colleges. If a university is going to give my kid a degree, right? My kid spent $100,000 for a 4-year degree, and they get the degree after 4 or 5 years. That, for most moms and dads, that's success. Without ever stopping to gauge what your kids don't know and what kind of ideology and radical progressive thinking has replaced what they don't know.
Oh, man. Amen mm-hmm. to that. There's a couple of things. California did a walkout over on Friday over their sex ed curriculum, going in so many diverse places you can't even imagine, being so horrific. They called it triple X sex ed. So they did a walkout. And if you want to comment on that, and also Congress Democrats unanimously as the House passed bill forcing schools to let male athletes compete in girls' sports.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This requires a show on its own.
Yes.
The Democrats in the Congress have passed the so-called Equity Act. Mm-hmm. Don't you love the names we give these things? The mm-hmm. Equality Act. Yeah. How could you be against equality? What it really is a comprehensive sex education bill. In the name of equality, which is what everybody, and not only did every Democrat vote for it, 8 Republicans mm-hmm. in Congress voted for this charade.
Wow.
It is not about equity mm-hmm. or equality. It's about radical sex, comprehensive sex ed. Under the equality bill now, if it passes the Senate, and I don't trust some of the rhinos, I don't trust Mitt Romney,
I don't trust either.
Some of these rhinos there. Mm-hmm. If it passes the Senate, then it'll be up to Donald Trump to have to veto it.
Yeah.
But what it does is it overrides the state's rights to choose what kind of sex curriculum they teach. If this passes, the federal government and federal judges will be able to order every state in the union to implement this bill, starting at pre-K. Teaching kids about radical forms of sex at ages 3, 4, 5, and 6. It mandates the transgender allowance of boys into girls' locker rooms and showers. It mandates that any boy who identifies as a girl must be allowed to squeeze girls out of places on sports teams. This is a seriously wicked act, and they simply call it the Equality Act. Again, if you take a look, and maybe next week, because it's still going to be a hot button issue next week, we can break down with you a lot more of the specifics of this. You've got to fight mm-hmm. this, mom and dad, because the states will no longer be able to protect your kids from this federal garbage.
Yep. If anything, it's unequal in every possible way, because when you start parceling out different groups of people to have more rights than others, you have a definite issue. And this act is it's horrific in all in its entire form. Go ahead, Uncle Milty.
It's not even sex ed. It's sexual perversion education is what mm-hmm. it is. Yeah.
No, I think, Milty, you're exactly right. Most moms and dads think when they hear sex education, they think that their kids are learning about birds and bees. Sperm and egg.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Or they're learning about birth control. No.
Or herpes.
They're learning sexual mores.
Yeah.
Their sexual taboos are being broken mm-hmm. down. They're taught to believe now that every kind of sex, including things like pedophilia, are equal mm-hmm. sexually to heterosexual sex. They're being taught how to engage in sexual conversations and experiment with all kinds of dangerous forms of sexuality yeah. without necessarily protecting themselves. That's what they're learning with all of this comprehensive sex ed.
Yeah, and here's one of the books taught in kindergarten through 12th, and it was a picture of a baby. Babies can't talk, so grown-ups make a guess by looking at their bodies.
Yeah. That's right.
I guess. So,
I didn't know
so
I was
words,
guessing.
When parents treat their children
yeah.
According to the biological sex of their birth,
uh-huh.
they are imposing on kids in an unjust way. It is socially unjust to see your little boy and to treat him as a little boy, because there may come a day down the road when he decides he's not a boy. So better, more socially progressive that you don't treat him as any gender whatsoever. Alternate between pink and blue clothes, right? At one day, dress him as a boy. The next day, dress him as a girl. Give him a gender-neutral name, right, that when he decides he's no longer a boy, he doesn't have to change the name altogether. This is what they're teaching your children in kindergarten.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They never teach them how to ignore that penis.
Right, right. It's just... Yeah, those identifiers.
Those little things.
I guess we're just guessing. And I do want to go into more depth on this. It'll probably be something that I would say, hey, maybe the little kids shouldn't be hearing that hour, but parents need to listen intently because we are going to go over exactly what they're teaching in class. It's so horrific. It is so, just the birth control kit alone will horrify people on what the teachers, what the manual for the teachers says that they have to put out there. And this comes from Advocates for Youth. They're advocates for this type of insane craziness. So anyway, let's do a show next week on that, because I think there's a lot out there that the parents don't understand what's actually being taught in class.
Yeah, and we need to take a look at the Colorado bill that's currently going through the Colorado legislature, mm-hmm. which is even more radical. This bill, if it passes in Colorado, would outlaw, make it illegal for teachers, public school teachers, to even discuss abstinence when sex ed is being discussed. So if your teacher's teaching about sex, she will be prohibited from saying that abstinence is the only truly safe form of sex, right? Abstaining from it is the only completely 100% way you can avoid diseases in pregnancy. That will be against the law if this current bill going through the Congress, the Assembly in Colorado passes. And don't forget, their governor, Hickenlooper, is a homosexual, right? Mm-hmm. If it gets to his desk, he ain't vetoing this kind of sex ed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. As far as that goes, also, letting male athletes compete in girls' sports, even though that was revoked, and we talked about that, how mm-hmm. Wasn't it a wrestler?
Yeah, they took
we're going to see more. Yeah, there was a funny meme I saw, and it had all four winners, and they were all males of the girls' sports identifier, you know, the different ones that they won. And I just thought, man, we are so behind the loop on this. We don't realize how much more of this we're going to see. We just really don't.
You know, it is. The equality bill that we mentioned is anti-female. I mean, it basically says that girls do not have the rights of privacy in their own high school and middle school bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Girls are not allowed only to have to shower with other girls. Boys can do that if they ask. And girls, despite how hard girls mm-hmm. work to compete against other girls, boys who have an anatomical and a biological advantage now must be able to compete in those sports, bumping those girls off the medals podium now. Yeah. If the Equality Act passes, that's a federal issue now. Mm-hmm. States won't have the right to fight back against it. They're going to have to conform.
Yeah.
You know, there was a situation here just recently where a transgender who was pregnant went into a hospital complaining about abdominal pains, mm-hmm. and they didn't realize that he was pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the baby died because of this. Mm-hmm. When is this going to stop? When are we going to see that danger?
Not only is it there's no stopping it, there's no movement to stop it. And look, even conservative outlets like Fox News and The Blaze and others as well, they've bought the idea that you are whatever pronoun you say you are, right? So when they write stories about this, they don't refer in this case to the female who got the female. They don't say the female who was transitioning to a male got pregnant. No, the male got used the same language. We've already conceded that language.
Yeah, it's so true. I have to go here before this broadcast ends today with you, this hour with you. We'll move on, but this hour, because I just wanted to mention that people are seeking therapists for watching the Game of Thrones. These same individuals that think that they can compete in girls' sports, the same individuals, millennials in general, and even older people that are having huge problems. Did you remember, Dr. Pesta, when we all watched the, I don't know, MASH finale? Finale and New Heart finale and all those finales. Do you remember having that mental breakdown and you sought a therapist?
No, no.
Okay, I don't remember either.
One of the things that's happened between our youth and these kids is virtual reality is reality to America now.
Right.
We live in virtual reality. Actual reality is gone. You asked the question, Milty, when is this going to stop with gender? Well, the only way it's going to stop is if we go back to living in the real biological world, not the fake you are whatever you think you are world.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of crazy behavior about Game of Thrones, you know, mm-hmm. this having psychologists standing by, the idea that we're petitioning now for a new ending. See, my fairy tale world in Game of Thrones didn't end the way I thought it should.
Mm-hmm.
So we're demanding the writers go back and rewrite it, right? This is the hallmark of where we are. You could not have had all of this progressive reform so quickly if you didn't convince huge swaths of our young children in the public schools that reality doesn't exist. But
mm-hmm.
the progressive fairy tale land is reality. That's what we're graduating from high school and college. Kids who think the progressive fairy tale is the truth. Kids who don't know the 120 million killed in the name of socialism. They only know that socialism is a wonderful fair utopia where if you bring it to our country, everybody will immediately be happy and equal.
That's so true.
You know, this actually started a lot longer ago than people know. In 1967... the final episode of The Fugitive.
Really?
People went ape.
But did they seek therapists? See, I want a therapist
to seek
therapy over what's going on. That's what I want a therapist for, because this is how insane it's getting. They have to. They're doing petitions to get a different ending. Like you said, the fantasy world has leaped on in leaps and bounds, has become part of their entire vernacular. It's not only on their own gender, like that page out of that book for kindergarten said. We're just guessing. We just get to make it up as we go along. Your gender means nothing. We just get to make it up. They're also going into needing therapists as they're watching fake shows on TV. They don't like the ending. That has got to say something about the virtual fantasy world they're living in. This is
and
insane.
What it says to me is that we in the West are too rich and too prosperous. We don't really, we've got too much free time.
Yeah.
And you know, the only thing that fixes this is not school. The only thing that fixes this is suffering. There's going to have to be a war. There's going to have to be a serious a loss of wealth, which is on the with all of our debt as potential. There has to be some kind of a crippling disease. The only thing that cures the life in the fairy tale are the harsher realities of life, death and suffering and misery that we have been really good at staving off. But we know from history, no culture, however rich and is able to stave off those realities forever. And I fear that when real catastrophe really hits us, when real suffering visits us, because it will, when that happens, we have created generations of kids who have no ability to handle it.
Yep.
Only the strong survive.
Yep. If you need a therapist for a TV show, you need a therapist for a whole host of other issues in your life.
Guys, how comfortable, before we sign off, are you with millennials looking after you in nursing homes one day?
I think they're getting ready for that demise pill in their little fictional story.
I'm saying, pull the plug. I don't want to be cared for by those kids.
Oh, my gosh. I'm horrified. I do. We need to seek therapy for knowing this is out there. But I also, the fact that we have fragile, neurotic people out there in droves that are dealing with this. We do have some serious issues, and it's not just the millennials. It's a whole lot of other people too, older people too, that are absorbing themselves into that fantasy world so much so that we have these problems. I think anyway. Dr. Duke Pesta, check out the Dr. Duke Show and FPEUSA.org, a wonderful accredited school for homeschooling that you've never seen the likes of. It's just amazing. Thank you, Dr. Duke.
See you next Monday.
I appreciate you. Bye-bye. Thank you. And of course, we'll be right back. We have so much to talk about. Don't go anywhere on the Kate Daly Show.